You've already heard the worldview of ABC News, the ACLU, and the National Education Association. Now, tune in for the other worldview. This is Generations with Kevin Swanson.
Welcome to Generations, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson. I'm Executive Director for Christian Home Educators. I'm a pastor. But the reason I'm Mike's side with you today, I'm a father of five. And today, well, we want to talk about the new age. Because just last week I met this fella out in Iowa who had attended a conference in Colorado Springs. And this conference was entitled Power Communication. It was conducted by Rapport International, whoever that is. Anyway, the whole idea was to improve his sales techniques. This guy was a corporate guy, and so the corporation sent the whole nine yards out there to learn how to communicate better. They sat around playing games basically the whole time, but part of it included a lot of these secular humanist beliefs. And this guy protested this during the three-day conference. But here are some of the quotes the guy wrote down, jotted down on his tablets. We each have an energy field around us, and there are cameras which teach this energy field can be seen. Nothing has any meaning until you assign it meaning. I am magnificent. I am powerful. I am magnificent. I am a magnificent, powerful communicator. You're supposed to repeat this like 20, 30 times in a row in a semi-darkened room. They said, we must not judge others. Rather, we must be accepting of all. I can find forgiveness within myself. I can find truth and meaning within myself. Transference, exercises in which one uses a counselor to pretend to be someone to whom they need to be reconciled. And I am also a creator of my own reality. So these are the sorts of things he jotted down on his tablet throughout the three-day conference. Now, what is this but raw humanism? I mean, guys, it's a worldview. Now, later on, he walks up to the gal in charge and he says, do you know that this is humanism? She says, no, this is a non-religious, pan-religious approach to communication. So, you know, she's assuming that you can be in this religiously neutral area, but it's just man is God. Dave, where do we get the idea that we could make some basic metaphysical statements and ethical statements? I'm the source of my own ethics, my own reality, et cetera, et cetera. And it's not a belief system. It's not a worldview. How can you not have a worldview and be saying something as basic as reality comes from me? Law comes from me. Truth comes from me. This is a religion. If I've ever seen
Kevin,
a religion,
it's
that's a religion.
Very simple. If you can create your own reality, you can make your own rules of logic.
I guess so. And your own rules of logic and your own reality and your own definitions of reality and ethics and all the rest, folks, is a worldview. I have a worldview. I have a religion or a faith or a worldview that includes basic beliefs about God, about me, about the world around me, about ethics. This is called a faith or a worldview or a religion. And so do the people at Rapport International bring out this raw humanism. Forgiveness, salvation comes from me. Reality comes from me, law comes from me, and truth comes from me. Bottom line, a man-centered, man-originated religious perspective is humanism. In a moment, I want to talk about this happening in K-12 curriculum and in K-12 schools. It's a new age world out there. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
Fasten your seatbelt. Hang on to your hat. Generations will be right back. Deeply embedded on the front lines of the War of the Worldviews, here's your host, Kevin Swanson.
Back on Generations, my name is Kevin Swanson. Welcome, folks. Today the topic is New Age in the Schools. And a very helpful resource of information on the New Age movement is the Aquarian Conspiracy by a New Age leader and sociologist, Marilyn Ferguson. The book outlines the basic goals and objectives of the New Age movement concerning education. She writes, of the Aquarian conspirators surveyed, more were involved in education than any other single category of work. They were teachers, administrators, policymakers, educational psychologists, etc., etc. She calls them the heroes in education, trying to transcend the limits of old structure, but their efforts are too often thwarted by parents. So here we have it. Education is filled with New Age thinking, my friends. This is where they're going. This is the church of the New Age movement. Mario Fantini, former Ford consultant on education now at State University in New York, said bluntly, quote, the psychology of becoming has to be smuggled into the schools. And here's that famous quote from the 1983 edition of the Humanist magazine. That's been around a bit. But here it is. The battle for humankind's future must be waged and won in the public school classroom by teachers who correctly view their role as proselytizers of a new faith. The classroom must and will become an arena of a conflict between the rotting corpse of Christianity, together with all its adjacent evils and misery, and the new faith of humanism. And humanism will emerge triumphant. Dave, this sounds like epistemologically self-conscious, worldview self-conscious New Agers or humanists. This is the same old stuff. This comes from the garden all the way back. This isn't New Ages. This has been around a long time, folks, at least 6,000 years. You remember? But if you look at what these public schools are doing, Dave, this stuff has been around since the 1980s. Even when I was in college, junior college, and at the university back in the 1980s in California, these public universities and colleges taught these sorts of things. They brought these things in. I can remember some exercises that were primarily New Age exercises. Ferguson talks about them. The deliberate use of consciousness expanding techniques in education. Only recently, well underway, is now in mass schooling. She's absolutely right. Altered states of consciousness are taken seriously. Centering exercises. Meditation, relaxation, fantasy are used to keep the intuitive pathways open and whole brain learning. These techniques to encourage body awareness include breathing, relaxation, yoga, movement, biofeedback. I can remember biofeedback happening in the 1980s, early 1980s, at my junior college, Allen Hancock College in Santa Maria, California. There's one module called Peace, Harmony, and Awareness, part of the APPLE program, Apple program. The child is taught how to put himself into an altered state of consciousness, and he's introduced to a white rabbit in his secret place using guided imagery. This sort of thing is happening, I believe, all over the place. I mean, it's not just college anymore, it's K-12 as well. Now, what do we want to do on the remainder of this program is to dissect the New Age religion, and by looking at its teaching and then its practice. That is, we're just going to look at what it says. Now, first, its teaching. It teaches a basic Gnosticism. That is a secret knowledge that is unverifiable, that is only determined by one's sense, is called Gnosticism. It's been around forever and ever. Manichaeanism is another term for it. But this is a quote from one of the New Age writers, and she says, quote, doctrine is secondhand knowledge and is dangerous. You see, we want to think that the source of truth is inside ourselves in the New Age construct. And any kind of authority outside of ourselves is found despicable. That's why New Age folks are going to find the idea that God can speak authoritatively in the Bible as reprehensible. And Dave, I think this gets right down to the heart of what New Age thinking is all about. They do not want to find their ethics and truths in God's revelation. They want to find it in their own minds.
The New Age movement is not a singular, unified movement. It's a combination of Eastern mysticism, of Western Gnosticism, many different flavors. There's the Krishna movements. Most of them come from Eastern Hinduish kind of thinking. However, there are some common elements, and one of them is a denial of a absolute reality. They not only deny truth, but they say, my reality is different than your reality. And in fact, many of them will deny a physical reality at all and say that the idea of a physical reality is just an error in our thinking.
And it's a mixture between polytheism, that is, I have my reality, you have your reality, I'm God, you're God, we're all gods. That is a raw humanistic polytheism versus the monistic Eastern mysticism. And I think it's a blend of it. I think you got a little of this, a little of that. A lot of them don't even know what they teach. If it sounds nutty, if it's weird Eastern mysticism or just blatant humanism, people like it. But for the most part, there's a lot of internal contradictions in the system. All right. So the worldview itself, folks, we're not presenting as anything consistent. We're just saying these are the sorts of things that New Age
folks
teach.
And when you go to the corporate places where they're using New Age concepts, they're not trying to say anything about reality. All they're trying to say is that you can be autonomous. You can decide your own fate. And by the way, would you please decide a fate for you that makes my bottom line bigger?
The other thing that's really popular in public schools today and private schools is values clarification. Here's an example of a values clarification exercise done in a grade 6 class in a Toronto Catholic school. Students were given a moral situation, asked their reaction. The first incident, the child overhears an older student bragging about vandalizing their school's science fair projects. In the second, he witnesses a friend shoplifting. For each incident, the part one of the questionnaire asks what decisions are possible. The part two has the following fill-in-the-blank sentences. Because I value blank, I think I should blank, and then I would blank. To part one, an honest child would say, I would tell him. To part two, he writes, because I value honesty, I think I should tell the teacher or security guard, etc. However, children with other values might write, because I value not being beat up or being friends, I think I should keep quiet, etc. So it's all about your choices based upon your own personal values. The point here is that what is good, that is your values, and what is right, that is the moral choice, is not going to be determined by God's word, but it's going to be determined by your autonomous choices. This is existentialism, this is humanism, this is autonomy. And folks, as many times as these things are mentioned, that you make your own choices, you establish your own values, what these textbooks are saying, what these classes are saying, you are a law to yourself. You are a God, determining good and evil for yourself. This is what Satan, the serpent, did in the garden. Now, I recently went through a charter school conference. I was going through their vendor hall looking at textbooks, and I would find in literature textbooks the same things. Values clarification. One example I remember was them describing the Shintoist kid out in Japan who worships at the god shelf for dead relatives. And then the book says, this is how this little Japanese boy expresses his values. How do you express yours? That was the question at the exercise after little story about the Japanese kid. The fact of the matter is, folks, this is just plain old-fashioned polytheistic humanism. You shall be as gods, determining your own truth and your own ethics. What the book should have said is that this boy in Japan is breaking the law of God. There again, I'm getting authoritative, Dave, because I'm bringing God back into the picture here, the God who created heaven and earth.
Here's what's happening in Britain. There's this government organization, Qualifications and Curriculum Authority, they are changing wording for what their teachers are to teach. Now, they used to teach the difference between right and wrong. They used to teach about the common good. The new wording, and this is going to be national policy, or it's proposed to be anyway, that they're going to encourage pupils to develop, quote, secure values and beliefs, unquote.
In the end, of course, Dave, that's going to destroy education because a lot of these educators, these New Age educators, say the child makes up his truth for himself. So I guess we really need to chuck all the textbooks.
Well, we need to chuck the tests because you can't grade a test that a child's truth is within himself. How can you, as somebody not himself, grade his paper?
Today, folks, on Generations, the New Age and education. And we have been talking about the content, the belief system of the New Age world, and now I want to switch to the methodology. And I want to start with a story that came out last weekend from Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine. They did a study that showed that mushrooms induce spiritual experiences. These are sacred mushrooms, understand. Hallucinogenic mushrooms called psilocybin. More than 60% of the study subjects said psilocybin produced a full mystic experience. Whoa, dude, this is pretty heavy. And a third said they enjoyed the single most spiritually significant experience of their lifetimes, some like in the occasion of the birth of their first child. And here's United Church of Red Bunnan quoted in the story. This is historical. He is board member of the Council on Spiritual Practices. He says, quote, mystery is at the core of the religious experience for the individual, and apparently endorsing the sacred mushrooms. But, folks, the methodology of the New Agers seems to also include a methodology whereby the mind releases itself with hallucinogenic drugs like mushrooms. And mantras, of course, are very, very popular among the Eastern mystics. Creates a hypnotic state. And the fact of the matter is, folks, not only is New Age a combination of raw humanism and monastic Eastern mysticism, but evidently there is a little bit of demonic witchcraft mixed in with it. And let me explain to you what I mean by this. The Bible warns us against using mantras or vain repetitions as the heathen do. The Bible warns us about hypnotic states. Even when tongues are used,
tongues require interpretation in biblical worship, and is because the understanding must be engaged in worship. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14 that we must pray with the Spirit and with the understanding. We must sing with the Spirit and with the understanding. It's absolutely essential that our minds be fully engaged in our spiritual activities. But meantime, the New Agers believe it's important to release the mind, to open up the mind. Certainly drugs do that. Hypnotic seances and mantras do the same. That, of course, is why witches typically go into hypnotic states and seances. That's what witchcraft is all about. In fact, the word for drugs in the Greek is pharmaceo, and it's the same word used for witchcraft. And that's because mind-altering drugs have always provided opportunity for demonic involvement and for witches. Well, that's what the other guys do. That's their system. Dave, evidently there's a connection, therefore, in New Age thinking between a humanistic idea that is you will determine good and evil, you will determine ethics, and a satanic form of witchcraft. Now, you see this all the time. Some New Agers call themselves witches, and you see that the trend seems to be from New Age in the doctrine towards a New Age satanic methodology, using the mushrooms and using the drugs and all the rest. So you see the connection here. I think the connection has something to do with power.
Yeah, it has a lot to do with power. I think you can see that very clearly in the religion we call Wiccan, which is a form of witchcraft, which worships nature, even as the American Indians worship nature, which is why you'll see a lot of Native American idols in the idol shops right next to the occult idols. And they will worship nature, but before long, they're trying to tap the power, the spiritual power of demonic forces. Now, they're going to say they're going to do it for good, but who gets to decide what the good is?
Yeah, it really begins with this temptation to power, the power that is within yourself, power to determine reality, but then that sucks them into a desire or a quest for power from other sources, from spiritual sources, from demonic sources. Ultimately, the satanic religion seems to be a power religion. The solution to this, Dave, is to humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. Acknowledge that God is sovereign, that the devils are not sovereign, and you are not sovereign. That is, you are not able to control all things, and you certainly are not the source of what is good and what is evil and what is right and what is wrong. But really, the solution here is to acknowledge that God is totally sovereign over his creation. He is the source of reality. He is the one who has created this moment by his creative hand and by his power of providential care over all things. And here's one more thing. He is the source of redemption. We began the program by reading this idea that you are the source of your own salvation. You can look within yourself for salvation. Every religion has a savior. The New Age religion has a savior. It is oneself. But the Christian religion flies right in the face of this. God is the sovereign source of our salvation, and we ought to look to him for it, not to ourselves.
Kevin, there's a lot of grease on this slippery slope. People will start at the corporate level. They'll say, I'm good enough, I'm bright enough, people like me. They'll say that mantra over and over again. But that slope is very slippery. That leads to sacrificing of children to Moloch. It goes to an ethic that is so twisted, because once you leave God's ethic, anything goes. It seems really harsh to say, well, I'm good enough. That's going to lead to children killing. But it always has in the past. It always has in other religions. And it's not that difficult to understand, because once you create the ethic, you're going to say things like, well, if I throw some virgin into the volcano to save the village, that's good, right?
And, you know, I think there are a lot of people out there that don't think it's that dangerous. Obviously, Rapport International, they bring out these statements, I can find forgiveness within myself. I can find truth and meaning within myself. I'm a creator of my own reality. And they're ultimately giving a demonic message to these people, that man is the source of his truth, his ethics, and his reality. This is dangerous. As man becomes more self-conscious of this, my friends, Dave just mentioned it, it becomes really, really evil. It gets pretty nasty pretty fast. That's why we're warning parents today about this kind of content, this kind of teaching. The New Age is effectively humanism. That's my point today on this program. It is more blatant. It is more epistemologically self-conscious. They know their philosophy, and now they are saying it. Maybe they weren't saying it back in 1960 or 1950, but they are saying it today. You shall be as gods, determining good and evil. They are virtually quoting exactly what Satan, the serpent, said in the garden. And that is what they are saying in these communication seminars in Colorado Springs and in K-12 schools across America. Humanism is becoming more self-conscious of what it is, and that is what the New Age is. Now, my desire is that Christianity become more self-conscious of who they are. I wish that we would be more worldview conscious, more explicit, more in your face, more conscious of our worldview. And I wish that we would be more consistent to it. The humanists are, and they're indoctrinating children every day in schools. I think we should do the same thing with our worldview. It's the other one, folks. It's not the worldview of Satan, who said in the garden, "You shall be as gods, determining for yourself good and evil." No, our worldview says God is God. He is the creator. He is the providential sustainer of this world. And he is the determinant of good and evil, right and wrong. And we're going to seek his law, and we're going to live our lives by his scriptures, the Bible.
Kevin, everyone needs to prepare themselves, because God is going to ask every man out there this question. He's going to say, "Will you annul my judgment? Will you condemn me that you may justify yourself?" That's the very same question he asked Job, and he's going to ask every man that. Are you going to condemn my law? Are you going to condemn my ethics that you can justify yourself?
Yeah, there's only one that can speak with a voice of thunder. That's what he says in Job 40. Only God can speak with absolute authority, speaking with the voice of thunder. And we have a responsibility, and that is to bow to what God says is true, and to submit to what God says is right, and to seek salvation from him alone, not from ourselves, not from inside ourselves, but from God alone. He is the source of our salvation. Ladies and gentlemen, worldviews are important. They do make a difference in your children's lives, in their future. They may even make a difference in your children's eternity. The things that your children learn in K-12 schools across Colorado or anywhere in the world may very well impact where they go for eternity. Make sure you've got the right worldview. Be discerning. Pick up those textbooks and read what they really say, and then put them side by side with the Bible and decide whether or not they correspond with what the Bible says or what Satan said in the garden when he said, "You shall be as gods, determining good and evil." One of the best books on worldviews I know of is Gary DeMar's Thinking Straight in a Crooked World. This book addresses New Age thinking, humanist thinking, the thinking that virtually dominates today in our educational institutions, our artistic institutions, our theaters, our media, etc. Gary DeMar has put together a great book. It's readable. It's easy to understand from junior high on up. Get the book Thinking Straight in a Crooked World by going to my website, kevinswanson.com, and click on store. Folks, you can interact with the program by emailing me at host@kevinswanson.com, and you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.